Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
How you doing, baby? That's good. You know, baby, I'm writing this letter to you while I'm packing. That's right, baby, I said packing. Because, baby, I'm leaving tonight on a Greyhound bus for Flagstaff, Arizona. From there, I'll take a bus to Denver and then transfer on to Chicago. I'm leaving tonight, baby, because it just doesn't seem to be much use of me hanging around anymore. And I think of what might have been. I think about the dreams, baby, that might have been realized. Oh, yeah, baby, we were that close. You and me. Remember that? The big two. We came in twos in those days, baby. You plus me. That equals you and me. We were that close, baby. We were close to that new David Kelly project. We were flirting with that offer from New Line. We'd even been over to Karen Mandabot's house for that Labor Day thing. We were ready to explode on all fronts, baby. What's that, baby? What was ready to explode? That's right, baby. You plus me. Television, movies, the Judith Reagan book deal. Let's not forget that one. Now, let's not forget the Judith Reagan book deal so I can stick the red, hot, searing poker in and up a little bit deeper. That's right, baby. We were on top of all of it, ready to fly to the moon, ready to spread our gossamer wings and fly. But then, what happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened, baby, because right now, I don't think you're aware of it. You came home tonight, honey. And you came home with a box of donuts. And I remember the tears welling up in my eyes. You sat down and you ate them with a fork and knife. Yeah, you had to come home with a box of donuts. Now, why? What was that about? I'm writing this letter now, baby, while you're out in the kitchen eating, polishing another dozen Krispy Kreme. I know they're only your first, but the point is, they won't be your last. And as soon as you walked through the door with the donuts, I came here and I started packing. You don't know it now, baby, but within, I'd say, I'm going to give it 2 weeks. Your ass is going to be enormous. So thanks. Yeah, thanks a lot, baby. Thank you. Don't bother to pay me back for the acting lessons. No. Don't give me any money for the singing lessons. Don't give me any money for the voice coach. Don't give me any money. No. No money for the beauty makeover. No, that's okay. No, I'm used to throwing away thousands of dollars. No, that's fine. Go ahead, have... You want me to run out and get another dozen? I gotta go hit the laundromat anyway, since they repossessed the washing machine. No, I'll get you another dozen. But then, you know, I've got the bus... Yeah, the bus tickets. That's how I started this whole thing. I need the money, because when I get back to Chicago, I hope my old apartment is still available, and maybe my job at Foot Locker. Why? Why have my dreams come crashing down? Because your ass got big. See you later, baby. It's been good knowing you. There'll be more coming up on the Phil Hendry Show. No, don't get up, baby. Just keep shoveling them back, yeah. You know what I find helpful? Use the heel of your hand to push. Yeah, you can get two or three in that way. They work good with those long johns. Yeah, that's a girl. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Rose Bowl game. This year, the Rose Bowl game is the national championship game. Who is that right there? Was that Eminem singing the national anthem? Well, that's great. Oh, no, it's a black woman. I'm sorry. But the Rose Bowl game this year is the national championship of college football. The Rose Bowl in California has always been Pac-10, Big Ten, or Pac-10, Big 11. I don't know how many teams. The Big Ten has like 11 teams, but they call it the Big Ten. So anyway, they have the football game there every year. It used to be just between the West Coast and these Midwest teams. This year, they've got Miami and Nebraska. And this is an interesting thing that happens in California. I'm not saying that California's cooler than anybody else. Just certain things don't matter. Like, I know you won't even remember this, Craig, because you're just a kid. But, like, oh, I don't know when it was, about 83 or 84. You know what they had at the Rose Bowl? They had the Army-Navy game. Yeah, they had the Army-Navy game because I think they wanted to experiment with moving it around the country. They've always had it in Philadelphia. They've always had it at Veterans Stadium. But they had the Army-Navy game at the Rose Bowl in 83. This is a big game for people that are into Army and Navy. Man, you couldn't. I mean, it was like a haunted house in that place. Nobody cared. I remember I walked into a favorite watering hole of mine at that time. I haven't been in there in a long time. The old Chronicle Bar in Pasadena. Got a nice little restaurant there and a fairly decent little bar. And you could have yourself a couple, not be bothered by anybody. And sitting behind me at a table, these people go, "Go Army!" Hey! And they're laughing and cheering and shouting and generally making nuisances of themselves. Everybody else in the place is looking at them. Are we being attacked? What do you mean, Army? There's a football game tomorrow, don't you know? No. Yeah, who are you in favor of, Navy or Army? As long as they both got guns, man, and they're, you know, and everything's going good, I like them both. Like them both, though. What about the football game? Oh, I don't give a sweet crap. Yeah, and you see their face just falls. Just this look of, huh? Just a kind of, you know, disappointed thing going on there. So what's been happening the last few days here in Los Angeles is this national championship game, which, by the way, is sold out. It looks like the joint's packed, right, Janice? Have you ever seen a Rose Bowl before, Janice? They got about 110,000 people in that thing, very uncomfortably, but you can get 110,000 people in there. It is not a comfortable place to go watch a football game. Very uncomfortable. Built back in the 20s when I guess people were smaller or didn't care. One of the two. Have people gotten that much bigger in that short a time? You've ever been to an old house? Have you ever been into a house like in Britain? If you go to the suburbs of England and you walk into a 200 or 300 year old house, the suburbs of London, and the doorways are small. Why is it? Well, the people were smaller then. What, 200 years ago? What are we talking about? But how quick does evolution work here? 200 years ago, the guy was like 5'2".
Oh, yeah, people were a lot smaller then.
And if you go to the museum and you see the old armor that the knights were dwarfs. So in other words, these badass knights that went down and kicked ass on all the Muslims, I guess they didn't drink their milk. Anyway, the Rose Bowl is built like that, very small, very cramped, and very uncomfortable. Well, you can get about 110,000 people crammed into that thing, and that looks to be what they have tonight. Now, the point being, though, that no one in Los Angeles or in the Southern California area is that aware that this game is being played or the significance of the game. Maybe that'll change over the years, but it's a big yawn. It's an enormous, huge yawn. Now, if you're not a football fan, the Rose Bowl game is always kind of a cool thing. Go to the parade, watch the team, the Tournament of Roses, some team like Oregon or whatever the hell, UCLA, that's cool. Now they got Miami and Nebraska. One of the teams, I mean, Nebraska doesn't even belong there. Oregon ought to be there. Or maybe it's Oklahoma, or I don't know, and I don't care. They got a computer that's running our life now. And it's the BCS. They have computers, and the guys walk in wearing tunics, and they set down, like, in, you know, flavored water and incense, and they pray to the computer, the mother-father plug-in, and one of the guys takes a plug and jams it up his ass, and he spits out the data. And that, then they figure out who's going to win the whole. What they ought to do is not even play the ball game, just cram the stuff into the computer, find out who's better, and leave it at that. Now, what they're hoping will happen tonight is Nebraska will beat Miami, which is not going to happen, but it would be cool because then it'll really make things messed up, and all the guys that run the BCS will blow their brains out, and we'll go back to having the ball games the way they used to be, and we'll get back to the real serious business of pro football. So anyway, this is a game that is not all that important to anybody that lives here. Just like when they have... Like, what's the last thing to really rock this town? The Olympics. The Olympics. That's the last thing that really had this town talking. Right, ball game, even a World Series, even a Super Bowl, nobody gives anything. You got two hoots about. It's an unusual place. What I mean to say is, people in this town don't give a crap about sports. Which, of course, is very true. We have football fans, but this ain't a football town. We have baseball fans, but it ain't really a baseball town. We got basketball fans. I wouldn't even call L.A. a basketball town. We got sports fans here, but it ain't no sports town. And that's the way we like it. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget about our big Vegas trip. 1-888-445-8844 to go to Las Vegas with us. That starts on February the 22nd through the 24th. 1-888-445-8844. Here is Shane on the Phil Hendry Show. Shane?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I have some info for you about the short people from 200 years ago.
The short people from 200 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, they were shorter back then because nowadays we have more nutrition. And it helped us grow. We have better food.
Well, how short were they?
I don't know.
Well, how do you know? You're just making this up.
No, I took a class in school.
You take a class in school about what?
History.
And they tell you all about nutrition?
Well, no, they just told me that, or they told the class that the nutrition.
I got a history class, and we talk about nutrition.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, people were shorter back then.
Well, how tall were they?
Oh, I don't know.
How many hits did you have today?
No.
All right, so because they didn't eat as good a food?
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, well, thank you. The cat's right. Problem is, what I'm trying to find out, how short were they as opposed to that? What, in other words, so the average height 200 years ago is what, 5'8"? 5'6", 5'2", eyes of blue. Has anybody seen my gal? I mean, what are we talking about? You got a guy that's 6 feet tall back 200 years ago. Is that Goliath? Remember like David and Goliath? I bet you Goliath was like 5'11". Goliath was 5'11", and David, well, you know, he was the normal height guy. He was 3'6". They were little tiny men. And because of improved nutrition and the whole earth, the good earth restaurants, now everybody is 6'8" and getting bigger all the time. I mean, it's true. I mean, speaking of football, all you got to do is look at football players. These guys are monsters. But how much smaller could they have been? I mean, in that a little time. See, if anybody doesn't believe in evolution, man, there you go right there. That's evolution. 200 years ago, not even that, like 100 years ago, I ain't even talking 100 years ago, 80 years ago, they build a Rose Bowl, you get 110,000 people in there, yeah, if they're 4'6", now maybe you can get in 50,000. Every two guys back then equals one guy now. Unbelievable. Boy, if you talk about nutrition, I guess the nutrition has gotten a lot better. All right, one other piece of information here for you guys concerning the Backstreet Boys. Nick Carter's been arrested. Now listen to this, because this is a total load. Backstreet Boy Nick Carter was arrested for refusing to follow police officers' orders to leave a nightclub after a fight broke out. The youngest of the five-member group at age 21, Carter was charged on Wednesday with a misdemeanor count of resisting opposing a law enforcement officer without violence. He was handcuffed, placed in a squad car, and released on his own recognizance. That was made up by a publicist. That was made up, that was created by a press agent. This guy wasn't, he was in the club, but he didn't resist no cop. I bet you they talked the cop, and we'll just take him in the cuffs, okay? He didn't do anything. Just put him in the cuffs, put him in the car. It's Nick Carter. See, bad boys sell. And the Backstreet Boys, it's no, you know, ain't no secret. These guys have really taken it in the shorts ever since NSYNC. You know, they've really been knocking it out of the ballpark with hits like, you know, that one song and the other one. So they're really doing great, especially that movie. What was the movie that they did? That Lance Bass? Lance Bass and his brother, On the Line. What? They did an IMAX movie. Yeah, like just this Lance Bass's big face there, like 360 degrees. Lance Bass. Boy, there's one of the great names in show business. You got Dean Martin, you got Frank Sinatra, and Lance Bass. Anyway, this guy, Nick Carter, gets arrested for refusing to follow a police officer's orders. See, the bad boy sells thing is very important, especially since these guys have been taking it up the old Royal American from the NSYNCs of the world and whatever the other bands there are. These guys have got to get back in the public eye, and they got to get back in a big way, just like the other guy. Who was the guy that was put inside because he was boozing? He was sniffing, he was huffing too much Glade or air freshener. What was it? A.J. McLean, right? Because his grandmother died, and so he immediately went to the paint. See, that's what they said. No, what did they say? They said he was drinking too much? He was boozing, all right? These guys have got to eventually break out of the teen market and make themselves saleable to an adult crowd. It's all a pattern, and you can see it. Britney Spears, pretty soon, what do you think's going to happen? Is she going to be in a knife fight or something? Britney Spears, something will happen with her. She'll break out with some STD, or I don't know, she'll have a miscarriage. Some phony baloney story going to start. What was the first big story about Madonna? Remember when she went from being the kind of the cute teen star to a woman? She did it with a Coke bottle in Life magazine. That was it. She had her picture taken in People magazine after she married a Coke bottle. Britney Spears is going to be found in a hotel room with 16 Dallas Cowboys, and it's only the next album is going to be fantastic. Well, the same thing goes with the Backstreet Boys. I don't believe any of these stories anymore about musicians and actors getting into bar fights, because that is the most calculated thing in the world. It's the most calculated thing in the world to hear about some badass rock star, some lightweight boy band cat, some chick just fresh off the farm like Britney Spears, marrying a Coke bottle, getting into a fist fight with Selena. Oh, excuse me. I mean someone who's alive. And it's a very calculated thing. And the whole reason for this is to begin to transition them from one audience type, from one demographic to another. Or to keep them in the public eye. I mean, the most pathetic example of that was what was it, like 2-3 years ago, Motley Crue did their tour, and they, it was embarrassing. All these guys are in their 40s, and they're, like, throwing up on each other. You know, they really didn't want to throw up in the hotel rooms, because that would cost, their insurance didn't cover it, so they just puked on themselves. I don't know what they were doing, but I think they were attempting arrest somewhere. Wasn't one of them, like, jaywalking, anything? One of them walked in and, like, slugged some guy, and no one cared. You know, one of them took out a gun, like, stuck the barrel in his mouth, started spinning the chamber and click. You know, it was all empty, but he started clicking the trigger, and no one cared. They just kept right on drinking. She goes, all right, well, then watch this. Fighting during a show with security. Okay, here's what I'm going to do, all right? When I get on stage, all right, I'm going to push you guys. You punch me.
Yeah, all right.
Okay? Don't hit me too hard, though.
Yeah, what you say, man?
Okay, now...
What are you doing, man?
Well, man, you said I hit you.
I broke your what? You broke my jaw.
All right. That means we don't have to hear you sing? That's a good thing. So, what about this fake booze binge that Ben Affleck had because that was the best thing for Pearl Harbor? You know, Pearl Harbor came, it went, it made $85 trillion billion, but, you know, Ben, he didn't get the next big thing. You know, Josh Hartnett is in that Black Hawk Down, but I don't see no Ben Affleck in that flick, and that thing's got 6 Golden Globes. What happened there, Ben? Well, he crawls inside of a bottle, tries to get a couple of people going on. You know, try a little bit of that publicity going. Am I right? You mean I'm wrong? I noticed that Black Hawk Down, which I want to go see. I'm going to take the kids to see that. I'm going to take my 10-year-old daughter to see that on Saturday, Black Hawk Down, because Maria's having her birthday brunch. I noticed that that guy from Pearl Harbor is in that because I guess he, you know, made a big splash with Pearl Harbor. But Ben Affleck ain't in that thing. Now, the next thing I saw Ben Affleck in was that green light thing on HBO. And they've got a couple of shots of Ben like, Jesus, why did I do this show? And he's just taking a nip out of a hip flask and then put it, oh, I'm sorry, the camera's on. So that's going to be interesting. Go see Vanilla Sky. It's wacky, it's weird, and Michael Douglas slaps a cop. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Trial begins for man accused in death of son's coach. Father charged with manslaughter. A man accused of beating another to death after their son's hockey practice went on trial yesterday in a case that has become a national symbol of parental violence at youth sporting events. Jury selection began in the trial of Thomas Junta, who was charged with manslaughter in the death of Michael Costin in July of 2000. Potential jurors were asked whether their children played on sports teams, whether they had ever witnessed a fight between parents. You ought to see this Junta guy who's accused of beating the other guy to death. He's a big, fat meathead. Just a big, dumb-looking guy. Witnesses claim that the fight started at a hockey rink on July 5th, 2000 in Reading, Massachusetts. They watched while Junta watched from the stands. Prosecutors say Junta became enraged when he saw body checking what was supposed to be a non-contact scrimmage. Officials say the man then pinned down the 150-pound Costin, banged his head on the floor. I've also heard people say that the guy left first and then came back. This guy is claiming self-defense. He's 275 pounds. The man that he beat to death was 150 pounds. Man, they'll say anything, won't they? They'll do anything. They'll plead anything. And I guess there's a lawyer somewhere who's going to take the case. Now, the guy's got a... It looked like he had a female lawyer. Not that that's significant, other than the fact that I guess it looks a little bit better after you're a 275-pound meathead beating a 150-pound guy to death. I guess every little bit helps. She's standing there saying, well, we'd really rather not the autopsy photos be shown because it might prejudice our case. Because I guess the guy didn't look too good. Hockey, baseball. You know, I played Little League. I mean, everybody that played in youth sport, there's always some dumb parent. And if you think being a player is bad, you ought to try being an official. I don't know why these guys put up with it. Guys that referee hockey games, guys that umpire Little League and youth baseball games, guys that referee football games, I have no idea why they even stand for it. I mean, you must really desperately want to get involved in organized sports to sit there and allow yourself to be subjected to the dumbest individuals that you've ever encountered in your life, parents at youth sporting events. Stupid? That doesn't even begin to describe them. Now, I don't want to mention any names, and I don't want to mention any schools, and I don't want to mention any personalities, but at my kid's high school, this past year was incredible. And I had the football coach tell me, he says, oh, my God. I said, what? Well, I mean, they're on the phone. They're telling me who I should play. They're telling me when I should play them. I had to tell one guy, this is the head coach of my kid's football team said, I had to tell one guy to get away from me. Now, how bad is that getting? He said, I told a guy to get away from me. Why is this? Well, because you got dads who figure they know what's best for Junior, and Junior's going to be a quarterback, or he's going to be a this, or he's going to be a that. Who knows what he's going to be? He's going to be a dumbass. And they're going to send him to dumbass camp, and they're going to make him the greatest dumbass to ever play at good old asshole high school. And the dad knows what's best because he's the guy that sent his kid to dumbass school in the first place. So that naturally, when the kid graduates from dumbass training camp and goes to asshole high school to be the number one dumbass, the dad knows what's better. The coach doesn't know jack. I told a coach, I said, look, why don't you let me be the liaison between the parents and the coaching staff? He says, geez, Phil, that's a great idea. I said, really? I've got media experience. I've done that kind of work. I can be a, you know, media liaison or coaching liaison with the parents. You know? So he gave me the job, and the first parent came up to me and said, why isn't he playing my kid more? And I took him up to the top of the grandstand, and I threw him off the backside. And I thought that was great, but then they fired me from the job. But I thought I was doing a good job. Why, really, Harry? What's wrong? Well, they ought to be playing my kid more, man. I mean, he's a guy. And why isn't USC interested in it? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's because your kid sucks. Do you think about that? No, what are you talking about? Here, let me show you the view here from the top of the grandstand. Ah! Oops. And I'd get to wear a coach jacket, and I'd get to have the little, you know, media pass. God, where the coolest thing is wearing the headphone that isn't plugged into anything. But you just stand around looking like you're important. I asked for a whistle. They wouldn't let me have that. But I wanted to have the whistle and a headset. He said, what do you want a whistle for? Ain't that what they wear? What are you talking about, you dumbass? You're a coach. What do you need a whistle for in the middle of the game? I want a whistle. You're not going to get a whistle. You wear a headset, and that's all you get. I want the whistle and a watch. What are you clocking? How many times between taking leaks? Get me that headset, that whistle, the watch. I'm going to stand there, walk around. And the other thing I want to do is I want to wear the school jacket, fold my arms across my chest, walk 5 feet, look at one thing, then walk another 5 feet and look at something else. Then walk another 5 feet over here, and give me a clipboard, too, and I can just pretend like I'm writing stuff on it. You know, give it to you after the game, and it's doodles, nude women, you know, large-breasted women. Just been doodling things, a little bit of pubic hair. What are you, let me see, well, there's nothing about a nude with pubic hair. Well, I had to write something. I saw these guys during the course of the season, parents, I don't know how they got their way onto the field. They're standing on there, and they're walking around, and they got a jacket on. Like, what the hell are you doing down there? Well, my son's a running back on the team. My son plays center, which he did. My kid played starting center. I ain't down there walking around looking like, somebody owes me a living. So that's when I started packing a gun to the games, and it became a lot more fun. Anybody out there is also an asshole football father? Give us a call here at 1-800-449-8686. Yes, that number again, 1-800-449-8686. And if you're a kid, man, is it embarrassing. You know what you got to do is just stop it, just for your kid's sake. Stop. Don't do it. Back off. Go outside. Have a smoke. Drop your kid off. Leave. Come back at the end of the game. Do anything, man. But don't do that because your kid is mortified. You think that you're making him look good. You look like such a jackball. It's not even funny. The kid is mortified. His friends think he's an idiot. You look stupid. But other than that, have a great year. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
And now, Phil Hendry.
Okay, the score of the national championship game, Nebraska 87, Miami 3. Nebraska 87, Miami 3, and they are at the end of the first quarter. So, I don't know, it's going to take quite a bit for Miami to come back from that, I would think. I think that's a little bit of a mountain to climb to come back 84 points in three quarters. But, you know, if anybody can do it, the University of Miami can, because they are a tremendous school. They pay their players very well, and I don't think there's been a rape charge or has there been at all? Can we double check on that? Because I think they've been clean. God, are they clean. You want to talk about a joke? I don't know. I mean, it's probably changed since I've been there. So forgive me if I sound stupid. It won't be the first time. But Miami was a laughing... When I was down there, University of Miami was a joke in terms of the players. Why are you guys even at a college? Why don't you just play for San Quentin U? Why don't you guys just go ahead and play for Rayford? Play for the intramural team at Rayford? Like they're ripping off limos and they're this or that or some other... I don't know what it was. And Ray Lewis... What a sweetheart. Don't forget this number, by the way, 1-888-445-8844, 1-888-445-8844. Call it. Ask for the Phil Hendry package. Don't ask me why. Just call it. Call it! Just call it and ask for the Phil Hendry package. Well, why do you want me to? Just do it! All right, here's Kurt. Kurt, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Hey, Phil, what's going on? You're dead right on with these parents that are just these jerks and everything else. I think every parent that has...
Did you ever referee a baseball, football game or anything like that? Or
hey, I was a soccer coach for like 5 years, right?
Oh, that's great.
Oh, my God. You know,
now, there's a sport that every American parent has intimate knowledge about and is a real authority on, soccer.
No. You know what? My rule was just kick the ball, you know.
Yeah, kick the ball. Go down the field and kick it into that thing.
The parents were like... You're not playing my son. You don't encourage my son. I'm like, my God, they're like 6 years old.
He's a club foot. What do you want from me? He's got knocked knees. Come on.
You know, but here's the other thing. My kids play it now. I've changed. I think every parent should have to coach, because once you coach, it gives you a whole new perspective, like you said.
Yeah.
I mean, parents and Little League baseball. I mean, kids would get hurt, and other parents are yelling, "Oh, he's not hurt! The hell with him! Pull him off the field!" It's like, it's stupid, man. People don't. I mean, my God.
Yeah, they that I call, but that soccer thing—that's a whole other. That's beautiful. Now, there's a sport you got. I asked the guy one time. I said, "You're a soccer coach, huh?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what do you know about it, man?" I mean, well, yeah, I bought. He says, "I got a book, and I started reading it."
Kick the ball.
Yeah, kick the ball and do it better than the other team.
Yeah,
but all the parents are down there, and they've, you know, they went to the, I don't know, the major indoor soccer league. Get out of here! Yeah. Shut up! Play the Mexican kid; he's better.
But you know, it's like my kids playing basketball, right?
Kid's 6 years old, weighs 350 pounds. What do you want him to play? Football or soccer?
Well, my kid's 6 years, like I was saying.
Yeah.
My kid's playing basketball, and like the parents, you know, like you get these refs out there for like $5. I tell you what, these people coach anybody that coaches, anybody that refs, anybody that screws around with volunteer stuff like that is a freaking hero, and anybody that yells at them should be, you know, beat up.
Yeah, that's a good point. Guys out there, he's
like,
volunteering his time.
People are saying, "You missed a foul, you missed a foul." It's like, Jesus Christ, they don't have eyes everywhere. You know what I mean?
Hey, my wife coached seven-year-old basketball, okay? Now, these are seven- and eight-year-old kids in basketball, all right? This is so at such a low level of basketball that at that age, as you know, they don't keep score. They just let the kids go up and down the floor. And my wife's in this, she's freaking in this jaw jack session with the other coach. "Hey, what are you trying to do? You playing zone or man to man?" Well, you got to be kidding me, man.
Can I tell you a story about a parent beating up a coach, though? Like 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. I was going to say no, but as long as it has to do with beating somebody up, go ahead.
30 seconds, okay?
All right.
Me and a friend, my dad, we're sitting there and watching my brother play football in high school, right? Looks like my brother screws up on a play. They punt. They come over. This redneck coach who's now in jail for statutory rape, right? Later, you know, years later.
Oh, great. Okay.
Check this out. He grabs my brother's face mask and, like, I apologize. And he starts doing that. My dad is, like, 220, major in the Army and everything else. He's a cool guy. He stands up and says, "Hey, you can't do that to my son." He goes, runs down there, jumps across the field, goes and grabs a coach, turns him around and says, "Look, the next time you," because the guy was beating my brother up. He was beating him up, right? And my dad said, "The next time you do that," he said, "I will kill you." And my dad was a
Well, that's a great example to set for kids.
Well, but you
I
know,
will
I
kill
mean,
you. What did the coach do to your dad? Rape him? I'm kidding. No, all right, Kurt, thank you. Yeah, sure. Run over there and threaten to kill the guy. I will kill you. You know, if you say that to somebody, you had better be prepared to back it up. Because the guy you say that to may say, "Okay, kill me." It's as simple as that. That's how quickly it happens in life. That's how quickly it happens. You're angry, and you say, "I'll kill you if you do that," and the person looks at you and says, "Go ahead, head on, kill me." It's like the person that you pull the gun on, who's had a lot of guns pulled on him, and takes the gun, and in the great words of Carlo Briganti in Carlito's Way, buries it up your ass. You know, these words, seriously, I believe that if you get into a fight, you should be prepared to fight to the death, because the only reason to fight is to defend yourself, defend your life. And if someone is physically assaulting you, you're going to have to assume that that person means you serious harm. But you never throw the first punch. This is why I tell the kids that. You never throw the first punch, but if you are forced into a fight, then fight to the death if you have to. And the only reason to fight is to defend yourself. But you never start a fight, and you never start mouthing off. And don't ever assume because you beat the crap out of a guy today that he won't come back tomorrow with a gun. So fighting, fist fights, all of those things, whether it's in a bar room, whether it's on a school ground, that just doesn't end after the guy had his ass kicked and everybody goes, "Hey," and you walk away, man. That thing can go on for a few weeks. It can go on for a few years. Be ready. Be prepared. Whatever fight you get into, be prepared to carry that on for an indefinite, indeterminate amount of time. It's a funny thing about people. They don't like getting their ass kicked. I don't know how that started, but yeah. People have a hard time accepting getting their ass kicked. That's why you see a lot of gunplay now. Used to be maybe somebody took a beating. People don't do that anymore. They don't take beatings anymore. Maybe they ought to. They'll go home and get their gat. Next thing you know, you have a serious situation. So don't ever throw the first punch on somebody. But if somebody is going to force you into a fight, fight them and fight them. Fight them to the bitter end. It's the same thing I tell my wife. And this is something that is true for every woman listening right now. If you take a karate class, if you take a class in martial arts, you may learn just enough to get yourself killed. A class in martial arts at a dojang in the shopping center in the strip mall can teach you self-defense. It doesn't teach you anything about street fighting. An experienced street fighter is going to kill some karate student out of the strip mall karate class. So if you're a woman, best thing you can do, some guy trying to get you in the car, A, don't ever get into the car with him. B, you take your keys and you stick them through your fingers so that the point is sticking out like that, and you put it right into the guy's eye. I'm not saying his balls. You go right for his eyes. You rake it across his eyes. See, that's Phil Hendry's self-defense class. There you go. Hey, thanks, Phil. There you go. And that didn't cost you anything. Take the key. As you're walking through the parking lot, put the key right through your fingers so it's sticking up, you know. Maybe put a couple of them through there. You walk into the parking lot. The minute the guy tries to grab you, you stick it right up in his eyes and you rake it across both eyes. Just, you know, about 6-7 times. And I guarantee you'll be getting into your car and driving home alone that night. Guaranteed. Now, if you say to me, well, that's a terrible thing to advise women, Phil, if they just submit. Yeah, you just submit, you're going to wind up in 6 different garbage bags. You're going to wind up like those two women in Yosemite, okay? They submitted. Guess what they submitted to? They wound up getting into garbage bags, and the guy set fire to the car. Forget it, baby. These guys trying to get you into a car, he ain't going to let you go. Well, I've read stories where they do let them go. Oh, well, that's great, okay. Well, roll the dice on that one, why don't you? Maybe, just maybe, the guy will let you go. What's another good thing you can do? You can take a ballpoint pen. Oh, a gun is nice. Mace is good. One of those tasers. But when all else fails, put that key through the fingers, and you just kind of just pop it into the eyeballs. He'll see things your way, if he can see it all. Yeah, 1-800-449-8666. Sean, hi, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on the whole fighting and self-defense thing.
Yes, sir.
I had a comment about something else, but change the topic. I actually got my girlfriend a stiletto, you know, the knives that actually shoot straight out.
Yeah, switchblade?
Yeah, not like a switchblade, though. It comes directly out.
Okay.
But because
the switchblade goes, like, out the side.
Yeah.
Okay.
But because the whole key thing, because I've been in a lot of street fights, and to actually hit someone where you're intentionally trying to hit them is so hard to do. You know what I'm saying?
All right. It's probably equally as hard to take a stiletto and actually stick it into somebody, too. But I'm saying, barring anything else, barring any other weapon that you may have, if you're feeling uncomfortable, you're walking by yourself, you're through a parking lot, you stick that key right up through the fingers. And if nothing else, if you throw a punch with that thing sticking out of there, he'll remember it. He'll remember your brief encounter lovingly. Phil Hendry Show.